Premier League this morning, Newcastle 2, Arsenal 0, in a blow to Arsenal's top four hopes heading towards the last game of the season this weekend. Last night in the Indian Premier League, some Aussies involved. Delhi Capital, 7 for 159. They won by 17 runs against the Punjab Kings, 9 for 142. D. Warner, Golden Globe, first baller for Dave Warner. Mitch Marsh, though, 63. Of 48 balls as the Capitals won that game there last night. Feels like it's been going forever now, that competition.
I was going to ask, when's the final? I don't even know who's in the top four, but Delhi, they're a good team. Davey Warner, good to see Mitch Marsh, who had COVID, come back. He's been batting at number three, which I think is a real positive sign for him, and then the Australian 2020 team as well. I think, obviously, you know, last games he played for Australia, he was into that number three position and really liked it and did brilliant. So, sort of owning that position. Now, tough place to bat in 2020 cricket. But I think that's 250s in a row for Mitch Marsh. So, yeah, that's a positive sign. And Davey's been in great nick. So, yeah, he's allowed to miss out every now and then. But he's been making plenty of runs. And, yeah, Delhi will be one of the teams to beat in those whenever those finals start, that's for sure.
Yeah, Sri Lanka tour not too far away next month, in fact.
Coming up.
At this stage.
Going ahead, but yeah, fingers crossed, hopefully for Sri Lanka and even the Aussie players. It's such a beautiful place to go and play and see Sri Lanka. It's a really nice spot. So hopefully things are okay over there and it's safe. If so, it'll be great for the country and for their cricket, really. Their cricket's gone downhill steeply in the last probably 10 years since losing some of their wonderful players, you know, Sangakkara, Mahela J. Wardner, Murali. You know, they've had so many talented cricketers, but of late, their team has not been performing well. So they need these opportunities against teams like Australia to, you know, to see where they've got to get to.
We've got Denny Widler from the Nine Network coming up shortly. And naturally, we'll be speaking a lot about what's gone on at Canterbury. As the teams get named for round 11 later today. Just on Manly, Loz, they've got Parramatta. We spoke to Clint Gutherson, by the way. If you missed any of our interviews this morning, including with Gutho, you can catch up all the interviews and the show on the podcast, just wherever you get your podcast, just search for Big Sports Breakfast. But Tom Trbojevic certainly looked hampered and has for probably a couple of weeks now, since he's come back from injury, really. Do you just tell him to just go away and get himself right? Or did they name him? Because Dez reckons he's fine. Dez has come out and said he's fine.
Depends what the actual injury is. If he's struggling with his knee, he's no good to anyone he's playing. Like, he wasn't at his brilliant best the other night, and the Broncos were able to contain him, but he still did some good things. Now, you sit down with him and get a feeling and understanding of where he's at, and you ask him whether he can get through 80 minutes and what he can contribute to the team, and if you think you can do that, then you pick him. They need to win games of football. But if he can't and he's not feeling confident that he can make an impact the way he'd like to, you probably look at him and say, mate, go and have a rest, get your knee right, and then come back and tell me when you're ready to go. But if they're saying it was just a knock during the game and during the week he's training with it, well, you've got to play. Because everyone plays with knocks at some stage. You know, and Tom's important to Manly, we get that. You know, he looked all right the previous week. He started off all right, but then he received a knock during that game. And sometimes when you've got knee injuries, Mido, it just hangs around, no matter how much rest you have. I mean, you might have 2 or 3 weeks off, but you come back and you can re-injure it. You can take a knock on it and you're back to square one. Sometimes you just have to play through it and do your best, and hopefully it doesn't get knocked, and then it improves and all of a sudden it comes good for you.
Morning, Denny.
Morning, gents. Pup, I'm really sorry about everything that's happened over the last 48 hours. I know you'd be hurting, and yeah, it's a tough time for you, mate. I'm thinking of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, run us through, Denny, the last, I guess, 72 hours there at Canterbury. Because how did you see it all unfold? Because across different news organisations, some people telling it differently. So how did you see it?
It's always an interesting story when Gus is involved, isn't it? It's always got people's opinions and Everyone's got a different view on things. Look, I got mail last week that the board had definitely started to really turn on Trent Barrett. And I think that in coming weeks, we'll see perhaps evidence of how much they were turning. I wrote a column on Sunday in the Sun Herald saying that they were definitely, fragile about the situation and things were ready to roll. And I also said that Phil Gould would definitely not be sacking Trent Barrett because I heard that he was on the verge of quitting. And as it transpired, that loss, a bad loss to Newcastle on top of a loss to Canberra, they're games that the club really expected to do better in and win. And I think those losses just meant that everything the board was fearing had come true, that Trent Barrett could no longer inspire or get things out of that football team that they were hoping he'd do. We've now heard about the emotional phone call between Barrett and Gus. And, people are going to speculate that Trent Barrett was pushed. Well, from what I've been told, and I can only tell you what I've been told, is that, it was in the end, it was Trent's decision. And Gus was still of the view that Trent would be coaching this week. And they had meetings planned around that, there was going to be talks between players and officials and players and the coach and to try and get things on track. However, I think it just got too much for Trent Barrett. I think that he started to really feel that pressure. I interviewed him last week and asked him whether he still wanted to coach, and he was quite defiant. At that point, he was saying that he felt he could coach on, but he was lost for answers in that press conference after the loss to Newcastle. And I think everybody, or people sort of who are aware of the machinations behind the scenes, knew that the end was near for Trent Barrett. And you know what? Trent Barrett has a roster that is definitely not beyond a, it's not a top 12 roster, I don't think. But the problem in my eyes, and I've been saying it all year to you guys and elsewhere, is that they're just not improving. And they weren't responding. And I don't think it's a good roster. I don't think they bought really well. I think they're weak in key positions. And I think you're going to see major changes to that roster, obviously, as well as a new coach.
Yeah, to me, it just didn't seem like a balanced roster, a roster that was put together with a strategic plan in mind. It was just a matter of grabbing who they possibly could get. Clarkie asked me this one this morning, Danny. I don't know whether you know it all or don't know what legal ramifications that it can have, but if you sign a player under the situation that you think a certain person is going to be coach, so talk about Reid Marnie and Kickow and these type of guys going to Cronulla because of Trent being the coach, how does it all change now if he's not the coach moving on next year? Would they have clauses or what's the story?
First of all, I asked this question of Gus on the news last night in a live interview, and he sort of deflected from it, as he's very good at. He deflects better than a test cricketer. Look, my view is this, right? I think there would be some concerns about it. I particularly think that, Billy Kickow, he played with Trent Barrett as an assistant, didn't he? So I think that those players might be waking up today or thinking or would have heard the news yesterday and would be thinking, okay, have I done the right thing? I'd be surprised if anyone at Canterbury would have signed those two players and allowed a clause, a Trent Barrett-style clause in their contract, given the fragile nature of the Bulldogs at the moment. If they've done that, then they deserve to wear the consequences of anything that those players decide. I think if a player came to a club and said, listen, I really now have second thoughts about what I've done, despite the fact that I'm getting paid a huge amount of money to come to your club, you'd have to listen to them, because you don't want a player at your club who has hesitancy about being there. And that could well happen. I mean, you can't rule this in rugby league. You can't rule anything out.
How do you go to a club like this, Danny? How now, as a player or a coach, can you take anyone's word that you go to the club and you're going to get your contract on it? Like, to me, Gus 2 weeks ago, he's saying that Trent Barrett will coach long after he's gone. Trent Barrett's now gone. So if Gus is not making the calls and Trent Barrett's not making the call, like, as a player or a staff member, how do you have any confidence in the club that, you know, you stuff up once, twice, whatever, your contract can be ripped up and thrown in front of you?
Papa, I don't think the Bulldogs are a stable club at the moment. Yeah. As you could tell, I mean, they haven't been. I think Gus said last night that it's been 5 years of this, and he hopes that this is now rock bottom for the club, because it can't get much worse. I mean, they've bought players who aren't the right players. A coach has left in whatever circumstance anybody wants to interpret it. He's no longer there, and he probably isn't going to get a top coaching job in charge of a first grade team on his own again. Players' careers have gone backwards. I mean, I don't know too many players who have gone to the Bulldogs and improved too much over that in that 5 year period. I'm sure I'll be corrected on that, but just speaking broadly, you go to a Melbourne club and you improve, don't you? Look, Nick Meaney left the Dogs and he wasn't really setting the world on fire there, and suddenly he's a top liner at Melbourne. You know, so
Remus Smith.
At the moment, at the moment, there's nothing fabulous about the Dogs, and Gus has to turn that around. He knows that, and it's a huge job. It is a massive job, and it's going to take someone with a lot of backbone to coach that side.
Yeah, I think it needs an experienced coach. I know, reading in the papers today, they're saying that Gus wants Cameron Seraldo. What's the chances of Seraldo leaving Penrith, do you think, to go to the Bulldogs? And the usual names are getting mentioned, Flanagan, Green, Wolf. What type of coach do you think they need, and what type of coach do you think they might end up with?
Laurie, I've asked Gus that same question, I reckon, 20 times in the last few hours, in the last day or two, or since it's all happened, you know? And he's not giving me an answer, other than he's saying he wants an experienced coach. Gus has a very close relationship with Cameron Seraldo, but he's saying he wants an experienced coach. And I don't know whether Gus would put Cameron Seraldo in the position to coach the Bulldogs, because right now it's not a good club to coach. It's going to need someone who's been there, done that, and can wear probably another 18 months of tough results. And that, whether that's a Flano, I don't know. A Paul Green, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if those guys are necessarily who they're going to end up with. There's a left field discussion around Michael Maguire ending up at the Bulldogs.
Freddie's name's been mentioned, but he wouldn't leave Origin and Channel 9, would he?
I asked Freddie this yesterday, and he said, I've got a team to coach, thank you.
Yeah, I thought that'd be the answer.
Look, Freddie, just say you're Freddie, right? Are you going to, financially, you're going to be better off if you go to the Bulldogs, sure, but not much in
no.
his position.
No.
Like, we're talking, minimal amount. So but he'd only have to want to do it for the challenge. And Freddie has never backed away from a challenge, but I don't know if it's going to work. Mm. I mean, it's a really tough position. Laurie, would you do it?
No, you wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't coach. There you go. I'm not just saying that about the Bulldogs, but I wouldn't.
But objectively, if you're just taking a step back, and if you're a coach on the rise, a young coach, would you do it?
No. I would say to Cameron Serraldo, stay well clear. I think because he's got the perfect opportunity to sit back where he is and have first selection of the team that he wants rather than taking the first job offered to him. That'd be my advice to him. He's only young. Learn as much as you can. Stay in the system. And then when you're ready to take on a big position, do it with your timing and when you're... Yeah, totally ready to do it. Just don't jump in to start with. Whoever they go with, there's always going to be some question marks, isn't there?
You look at a really qualified bloke like Shane Flanagan, right? He's got Kyle there. I mean, that's an instant situation that's going to attract huge amount of attention, and it's going to be not something that's easy to deal with. I know Flano is a professional guy and he would only pick his best team. However, it's not an ideal situation. Paul Green, he didn't leave with player support of the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of it's easy. Mate, you know what? If it's never going to happen, but Gus would be the best person to coach him. It's never going to happen. He says it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, mate, he probably is, to be truthful. He probably is. I even said this morning, and Christian Wolfe, I think, would be a wonderful coach. But the issue I would have with Christian would be he's coaching over there in England with the best side, with the best roster. So he hasn't had to really experience any of the learnings or the trappings that come with being a head coach and riding the highs and the lows. It's all been high for him.
I'd imagine the criticism that comes with coaching an NRL team is a lot different to coaching over there as well.
Mm.
Loz, would you do it if you're someone like Ricky Stewart?
No. Are you hearing that or are you just tossing that up?
I'm just wondering, Ricky's got his critics down in Canberra. Mm. I don't know, like Gus and Ricky, you've got to... I wouldn't think so.
I think that Ricky wants to sort of start rebuilding the
Raiders
again.
There'll be coaches
that
want it, though.
There will be people. But
who said openly that they want to coach and they'd do it? Jeff Tuvey, for example.
Yeah.
He's made it very clear, if you offered him an opportunity, he'd take it on.
Yeah.
So there'll be coaches, that, as hard as we say this is going to be for anyone, there'll be coaches that say, you know what? I'm willing to take that risk. If I get sacked in 6 months, I don't care.
It's a job for them. There would be coaches out there, and I'm sure that guys like Flanagan and Green would want it too. Mate. They've been sitting on the sideline for the last couple of years wanting another crack at it.
Yep.
But whether it's the right fit, because for those guys too, if it doesn't work...
Career's over.
Career's gone.
Yep.
There's no coming back.
Just before you go, Denny, I know you've been tracking, as we all have, the progress of Joseph Suaalii over the last 18 months or so. What do you make of his performance there against Parramatta on the weekend?
Look, we're now starting to see that the hype was real. He is out of the box, this young bloke. He's a fantastic athlete. I know there were a lot of positive things to come out of Magic Round, and we haven't talked about those today because of this story, but... the Cowboys player pass was, I've forgotten his name right now, but that was unbelievable. And then the Suaalii leap was fantastic. I mean, that I reckon he's origin material within 2 years. That's how good he is. He's showing resilience, toughness. He's a young man. He does the tough stuff. He's not afraid of it. And he's got a fire in his belly that I didn't know he had. So he's got representative football written all over him.
Thank you so much, as always, mate.
No worries, guys.
Danny Widler there, just on Jeff Tuvey, I guess Jeff will always, he'll be pigeonholed just as Manly, won't he? I mean, he's just one of those people, you look at Tuves and you just think Manly.
Yeah, but Tuves is pretty strong-minded and strong-willed as well. And
he won't be scared of the criticism.
No.
That's for sure.
No, he wouldn't be. I wonder how he and Gus would get on, because I reckon they'd be both similar in their views. And Tuves is very, very strong-willed and strong-minded. He, you know, he's got a certain way, and that's the way he wants to do things. I wouldn't say no to a Tuves. I don't know. The Bulldogs, I think they need an experienced coach. I really do. I think they need an experienced coach that knows how to put a roster together, that can build. He's strong in his own convictions. He knows what he's after. He doesn't second-guess himself, and he knows what he wants. And he's prepared to drive a group of players hard. And if he's got the support and the backing, I think that's the way they need to go, rather than getting a young coach in there that, you know, still unsure of himself and finding his way. This is not a job to find your way.
Let's face it, Shane Flanagan's the hot favourite, isn't he?
Got to be, I reckon.
I think he and Paul Green. I think Paul Green and Shane Flanagan would be the two.
2015 and 2016 premiership winners.
Yeah.
Green and Flanagan.
I think one of those two will get it. I think, you know, you can look at all the good young up-and-coming coaches, but the last coach they had was a young up-and-coming coach who had all the raps, and that was Trent. Yep. And look how that's turned out.
So we saw Newcastle beat Arsenal 2-0 this morning in the Premier League, and Robbie Slater's coming on shortly. And in the Championship, in the playoffs today, Huddersfield beat Luton Town 1-0. So they've won 2-1 on aggregate to go through to the so-called £100 million game, where they'll play the winner of Nottingham Forest and Sheffield United, which is tomorrow morning. And Forest won the first leg away from home there in Sheffield, 2-1. So taking that 2-1 advantage into the second leg. That's tomorrow morning, 4:45 a.m. our time. Yes, Robbie coming up. Also golf this week, the PGA Championship, and Tiger Woods returning to the Southern Hills Country Club there, the scene of his previous victory in the PGA Championship back in 2007. And the 46-year-old says that his repaired leg is only going to keep getting stronger, and he's a $67 chance with Tab in the market, and he'll be one of Tab's worst results, let me tell you. It doesn't matter what Tiger's circumstances are, he's always pretty well backed off the map. Teams later today, I wonder what the Sharks will do with the fullback position, Loz. So Nicho Hynes obviously went back there. No Will Kennedy again this week as he's suspended. Do you put him back to halfback? They've got, I forgot his name, I think it's Lachie Miller, who's been sort of mature age recruit, but he's been with the Aussie 7 squad, and they've got him across to the Sharks there in that squad. Apparently he's been lighting it up in the New South Wales Cup. He's an option, but what do you do with Nicho Hynes? Because we know he can play fullback. We saw what he did with the Melbourne Storm last year.
They were just off. They were just off. If they win that game, we're not having this conversation. I think if they felt as though he was the best player for that role, they stick with him. You've got Trindle there. I'm just trying to think of the young fella I was reading about, and his father played for the club when I was playing years ago. Dykes?
Yes, Cade.
Cade Dykes.
Yep.
I wonder whether someone like that is ready. Or you could play... Luke Medcalf in the halves, and possibly Connor Tracy goes back to fullback and bring in another winger. There's plenty of options there that they have, but they've got to be confident that that's the right combination. So Nicho, along with the Sharks players, I just don't think they were ever in that contest the other day. The Raiders out-enthused them. They played some tough football. They made plenty of errors. They kept giving away penalties and allowing the Raiders to play on the front foot. And then with the heat and the humidity, it just sapped them of energy. And they just were out on their feet. So for me, it's not about whether Nicho plays halfback or whether he plays in the fullback role. If they turn up and give the same ill-disciplined display as they did the other day, they'll get beaten again. Mm. But if they can play like they did, you know, round four, round five, when they're playing some really good football, expansive football, and control the game and be disciplined with their performance, they can trouble most teams in the comp.
What have we got this week? We've got Newcastle up against Brisbane Thursday night. Newcastle $3 outsiders with Tab there. Brisbane $1.40. The Tigers and the Dogs we've mentioned at Leichhardt and tight market. The Tigers $1.77. The Bulldogs $2.05. And Luke Brooks, hamstring injury. You'd have to say he's all but certainly out. Well,
you'd think that the Bulldogs will start favourite in this game if there's no Luke Brooks.
You're probably right.
Here we are talking about...
Oh, but that market would be priced, assuming Brooks won't be playing.
Yeah. Well, you get a good idea of whether Jock Madden is potentially, you know, that number 14 or whether he can come in and be a 6 or a 7 with Jackson Hastings, see how that combination goes. But this will be a game where both teams will have the spotlight on them because poor old Tigers have been away from the spotlight and the focus has been on the Dogs. And now that the Dogs have made the decision to sack a coach, the pressure comes back on the Tigers now to win a game.
Tell you what, Saturday night, we've got two cracking
games. I'm going to throw a left fielder out here, boys, for the Bulldogs coaching. No, just for the Bulldogs coaching position.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what happens to the Tigers if they lose to the Bulldogs.
What about Tim Sheens?
Oh. Excuse me?
No.
So, hang on.
He's just signed with the Tigers.
So what? Does Tim Sheens
imagine
still
Tim Sheens
have
under Gus Gould
ambitions? And will he be perfect as far as experienced coach needed? But does Tim Sheens
could be coaching the Tigers if the Tigers lose to Bulldogs on the weekend?
I don't know. I just think that
would he want to do it?
I think he'd love to coach Tim.
So he still sees himself as a top.
I don't know whether he sees himself
coach.
as another option. I'm just tossing it up. Saying Tim Sheens, he'd be someone that might fit in well at that club. Because when I'm speaking about the Bulldogs' position, when I speak about and think about what they need, every time I say what I'm thinking, Tim Sheens springs to mind.
Why don't they grab Wayne Bennett for the rest of the season? He's doing nothing.
They won't be doing.
He's probably got his eye on building that squad at Redcliffe. But he's got a relationship with Gus. He's a very experienced coach. He knows how to deal with all the politics of a football team. He's had success.
He's just signed a contract with
West
Tigers.
He'd be someone that I'd have a conversation with, put it that way.
No way.
Interesting.
He's not leaving the Tigers.
I think that's interesting call.
No chance.
It just depends on how keen, obviously, Tim would be to do the job, but
if
he
keen
still
to coach,
has the
though,
fire,
he's going to be. If he's keen to coach, he might have a coaching
fire.
Job.
I think he'd still have the fire to coach.
If the Tigers lose to the Bulldogs on the weekend, we could be having the same conversation about the Tigers.
Well, at the end of the day, mate, a coach is a coach.
Yeah. Okay.
And Tim Sheens is a coach.
Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Trips. Well, Bulldog Richie's just walked past me, and he told me to tell Laurie to stop waffling.
Mm. Have some of that, LD.
It's not very nice, is it?
Well, tell Bulldog.
Tell Bulldog. Yeah, he's listening.
Yeah. I'll give him
$10,000. $10,000?
Yeah, to go and get his head fixed.
Come on. Come on, it's going to cost more than that.
Probably right.
I love it.
Did you handle not coming on the show yesterday morning, Robbie? Were you okay with that?
It was very disappointing, but, you know.
Did you make your feelings known?
No, nothing you can do if phone lines are down, isn't it? So we re-adjourned till today, which is quite good. Still quite a bit happening in the football world, not as much as yesterday. I mean, yesterday was extraordinary. Sam Kerr adding to her, how would you say, her legend, really, already at a young age, scoring 2 goals in the Women's FA Cup final. Manchester City dropping points. Of course, Ange Postecoglou going to really another level in Australian Australian football coaching history, sorry. And Arsenal look like they've blown it. They lost to Newcastle very early this morning, 2-0 to Newcastle. and Tottenham now 2 points ahead, but one game to go. Arsenal, I think Arsenal and Tottenham will win on the weekend. Arsenal are playing Everton at home. I think they'll win that, but unfortunately for them, I think they've thrown it away because Tottenham travelled to already relegated and bottom club Norwich City, and I think they'll win there. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. Of course, they all play early Monday morning our time, the last round, and they all kick off at the same time with a lot, obviously, to play for. The title race goes to the last day as Manchester City dropped points at West Ham. Should have won that game. They missed the penalty in the last couple of minutes. Mahrez's penalty was saved. So, look, I think pretty much like Arsenal-Tottenham, I think Liverpool and City will win their last games. Liverpool at home to Wolves. City at home to Aston Villa, so City will take out the title. Of course, this is all if Liverpool manage to win at Southampton tomorrow morning, because if they lose Southampton tomorrow morning, it's pretty much all over.
And they're $1.38 travelling to St Mary's for that. Southampton, $7. The draw, $5. But what do you make of the FA Cup final, Robbie, and Chelsea winning again? Liverpool beating Chelsea again via penalties.
Yeah, Chelsea. Two finals, two losses on penalties to the same team. That's got to hurt the Thomas Tuchel side. Yeah, look, it was a tense final. You know, no goals, plenty of chances, really, for both sides. Liverpool, in the first half an hour, could have had four. But it went right down to the wire. And you know, the cruelest way to lose a game of football, particularly a big game. There's lots of big games been decided on penalties over the years, and this was another one. And Chelsea on the wrong end of a penalty shootout. Looked like it had turned for them. Because Liverpool looked they were about to win. Sadio Mane came up to hit a winning penalty, and he missed. Let Chelsea back in the door, but unfortunately for them, Mason Mount missed two penalties later, and Liverpool took out the cup. So the quadruple was still on, Gerard. It's unlikely because I think, as I just explained, City will win the title. But, of course, they've got that Champions League final against Real Madrid to look forward to as well.
Is Dwight York coming across here to be a head coach of MacArthur FC, Rob?
Yes. It's a big appointment. And is it a risk? I think it's a risk in respect to Yorkie has passed all his badges, has little coaching experience. I don't know if he realises what he's in for. It's a tough job he's going to take on because this is a club that has struggled to find an identity. Talked about it on this show before. They've got a very small fan base. And this is obviously an attempt to bring in, you know, a big name. That's why York is a big name in the world of football. Unfortunately, for MacArthur, you know, people tend to want to watch players, not coaches. So, you know, Yorkie can't play anymore, of course.
He's still fit enough.
That's a fair
sledge. He probably could have
gone. What we need is big name marquees that are going to play, you know. So, you know, little Johnny doesn't want to go and he's not going to sit there in the stand and watch the coach on the bench. He wants to watch the players.
Where's he going to hang out, Dwight?
All night Dwight.
All night Dwight.
Anywhere he wants. Hey.
Well, where are they based?
Don't matter. He won't be living there, let me tell you.
He'll be living in town.
He won't be living in Camden.
Buy some acreage out there.
The people who live in Camden, but that's the Yorkie's
All night Dwight. I love that.
He's a city
boy.
Yeah. Interesting times. The A League is coming to an end. It's the finals, of course.
Start tonight, Robbie.
Tonight, Melbourne Victory play, who is it?
Western United.
Yeah, two legs. And Adelaide United take on Melbourne City. I think that one's tomorrow.
Yep.
And winner of those, well, that's two legs, home and away. Victory and Western United, I guess. Home and away is the same venue, Amy Park. And the A-League will be praying for a Victory Melbourne City grand final, or at least a Melbourne Victory Adelaide grand final, that's for sure.
Robbie, we saw great scenes at Celtic Park over the weekend and just the adulation for Ange Postecoglou. And also, what intrigued me as well, Tom Rogic, 29 years of age. Where do you think he will end up? Or where do you think is best for him to end up? He said he basically laughed when he asked if he'd come back to the A-League at this point in his career. But where's best for him?
Oh, look, for Tommy, probably the Middle East he's going to go. Something like that, I would say. That's where usually players coming towards the end of the career go. You know, he's had a fantastic career, done it all for Celtic. And, yeah, I was pretty surprised, to be honest, because, you know, with Ange being there, and certainly at the start of the year, Tommy was no short thing of playing. His form had dropped and he was sort of on the outer, and Ange resurrected him. Really did. And he had a super season under Ange. And I thought with the Champions League looming, what a chance to, you know, to stay at least another year. But look, he's the type of player that the A-League could do with. Look, no disrespect. I don't think Tommy would have the impact on a club that other big names would have because, you know, that, quite frankly, and it's no disrespect to Tommy, but we need bigger names. You know, you need big names in world football to be placed strategically in A-League clubs. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he could come back to the A-League. I know, and I spoke with Denny Townsend. I had a one-on-one with him, which was in the telly on Sunday and on code that... Yeah, he said that they were talking to big names and looking at bringing in big marquee signings.
Well, huge week, Robbie, with the last day of the Premier League coming up, and we'll preview it all with you on Friday, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, look forward to it. I've got a sneaky feeling just before I go. I don't know. I keep on hearing these rumours of Ange to Manchester City at the end of next season.
Kidding.
I know. It's a bit like that, isn't it, Gerard?
Got
that would be... Like, that would be extraordinary. Can you imagine? You're giving it the no?
Well, I'm not. No.
No?
I'm not going to give it the no.
Can you imagine he stays, he wins the title again and does well in the Champions League? Guardiola's already announced he's leaving Manchester City next season. He's well known in the UK now. And they have compared stats from the way Celtic play to the way Manchester City play. And that's, you know, you've got big pundits, you know, talking about Ange Postecoglou. And, it's just a rumour. That would be extraordinary. But anyway, that's off into the future. And I'm awaiting Tim Sheens at the Bulldogs to be announced today.
Tim Sheens to take over for 2 years, Cameron Seraldo as his assistant, and Seraldo takes over in 2025.
Well, Laurie, you are the guru of rugby league.
And Ange Postecoglou at Manchester City.
I'll take your bet.
I love this rumour. Good on you, Robbie. Thank you.
Good on you, troops. See ya. Bye.
Just this text. Morning, boys. I'd just like to give the community of Goolagong a plug. They put on a function for the start of Royce's Walk, had Chris Mortimer and Greg Brentnell as guest speakers. They wound the night up with an auction, which raised in excess of $23,000, a population of approximately 400. In closing, the little man was in fine form. Keep up the good work, Dossie. And good on everyone there at Goolagong. Went for a drive out there with my old man not that long, on Easter. Beautiful little town out past Canoundra. And there they are on the way to Cowra today as part of Royce's Big Walk. So just that email address, that website, roycesbigwalk.com.au is where you can donate as Roycey Sibbins and, a cast of a few joining you on various legs of the journey, but walking from Goolagong to Penrith to raise money and awareness for dementia research. Luke Marlow, Dave Stanley, fresh from the Scone Carnival. How are you, fellas?
Yeah, good. Good, Meadow. Very, very good. How did you blokes pull up from Horse Heaven?
Yeah, good, mate. I came home on Friday. I was a little bit soft. I couldn't back up after a big weekend the previous weekend in Wagga. So well, I took it very easy.
We've got a bit of mail on you, Daly. Mm. And I don't know if Middo and Pup know this, but maybe I'm keen to hear what the listeners think about this. So, Loz, as you know, I'm here beside the great man, El Marlow, and he's a good form student. He's been really sinking his teeth into WA form. He loves doing it.
Mm.
Luke, why don't you tell the listeners what's transpired over the last 24 hours?
Well, David, I'd expect something like this from maybe yourself, but not from the great Daly. I can't believe this. Tipped him a horse at Belmont on Saturday night. Horse wins. Not blowing my own trumpet, but horse won. Laurie rings. Mate, thanks so much for the tip, etc. He's a great man. He's, you know, showing a bit of gratitude. However, one alarming area of the story, gentlemen, that's come to light was that he's tipped it to the whole pub, but he's claimed it as his own.
I can't believe you'd be shocked about that.
But wait, Middo, it gets better. I've heard along the grapevine that obviously there's quite a few generous folk at the North Bridge. As the tip's been produced and people have won a lot of cash, they've slung Laurie. You know, here you go, mate. Thanks for that tip. Oh, here you go. Have a beer. Have a schnitzel. So he's benefited financially from the tip. And then to make things worse, we've then since heard that another mate of his asked him if they'd, you know, like to go to the football on a certain, I think it was Saturday night. I think it was maybe.
He wanted me to go to the AFL. Well,
wanted you to go and watch
it was the
Swans.
Night of this crime.
Yeah. Yeah. Night of the crime.
Yes, isn't it? Yeah.
And
I told me that. This.
He's told the mate he's gone, no, mate, having a very, very quiet one, you know, I'm not feeling well.
Where was he?
So hang on. Then
punting on Bell.
Then his mate, who is going to the football, goes, well, you know what, I'll call into the North Bridge just for a nice refreshing hour before I go to the football. And here's Laurie, three sheets to the wind, running around that he's backed this thing at Ascot.
Oh, you're a myth, Daly.
What's going
on? You should have seen the look on my face too when he walked in. I've only been here for 20 minutes, mate. I've just dropped in for a beer.
I mean, Pup. Oh. I mean, he raves about, you yeah. know, the integrity, I tell you what.
And you'd be one of those blokes, if I rang you and I could see you, you'd pick up the phone and brush me.
Yeah. No, he'd reject. He'd press red. Yeah. He'd reject your call.
If I was, in a meeting. Depend on where I was. Depends on where I was.
I was going to say, you know, the thing about what I love about Loz and hearing that story from Marlow is that I just know for a fact that someone in that pub would have said, Laurie, where did you get that from? And I guarantee you Loz would have gone, well, mate, I've been doing a bit of form over in WA and, you know, it ran home good last start and he would have just gone on with it. It would have been fantastic.
One beauty about it, Dave, was the horse was it had only had one start previously. It raced from the back. And I said to Laurie, mate, it'll get back, but this will finish like Winx if the track's fair. Anyway, it pinged the gates and sat outside the lead. And everyone spraying Loz in the run. I thought you said this was a back marker. What's going to happen now?
Hey, boys, side down. Speaking of, I tell you what, if ever there was a gentleman that we need to find out how he continues to go. I mean, what Wagga nearly got the end of Laurie from a backup, but Bjorn Baker. Bjorn Baker.
He's too good.
Mate, and gets up at 3 a.m. and then goes to do the... It's unbelievable. So Bjorn's going to join us, not only talk about his horses, but how he gets through day by day. He's a freak. Richard Callanan will join us. Boys, this Friday we're going to be down at St Michael's at the New South Wales Trainers Association Golf Day, so we'll talk with Richie about that. Sam Clipperton. 6 years, Marlow said to me before. It's been 6 years since his last Group 1 victory. What a great bloke, and we'll chat with him. Gerald Ryan and Mark Newnham. So we've got a good show coming up, boys, and we'll try and find a winner, Middo.
I love your work, fellas.